Good evening.
Good evening.
You have a question?
Well, I think I can put it together. I did find the handout that you did with us. It was Hyphenia Section 19, the hair on the beard of Irikuntin. You want me to go ahead and get started? I'm the only one on.
Let's hold off and see if somebody else comes. If not, we'll do it next week.
Okay.
Unless it's important enough that you want to do it by yourself.
No, I'm willing to. I also figured out what I did for this with Shana Rabah wouldn't be any different than Shabbat Hoshana Rabah. So I think I've answered, you know, I got the answer for that, just pondering it and thinking of the both, how do we pronounce it, the Boeotians, when they moved the willows, and so they were able to do the ritual on Shabbat. So evidently it's okay to do that on Shabbat.
I'm not clear on what you're saying. The ritual of the willows.
The shaking of, the beating of the willows with,
right.
You know, with the meditation on the final letters.
Yes. That can be done
on
Shabbat.
Shabbat. Because Hoshana Rabbah is a Shabbat.
next year, you said. So.
Yes, next year. It falls on a regular Shabbat, but even the last day is always a Shabbat anyway. But I also remember, because our focus of our teaching...
Actually, Hoshana Rabbah is Sukkot. It's not a high holiday. It's one of the Chol HaMoed days.
I thought the last day was.
It has a special name, and it's the Malchut of the 7 days of Shabbat, but it's not a holiday. It's a Chol HaMoed.
Okay.
But we do seven Hakafot. We do, you know, we do the willow ritual. So, I mean, there are things we read the... Deuteronomy, there are things that we do because it is Malchut of Shabbat, of Sukkot.
Okay, thank
you. You would be able to do the willow ritual on Shabbat because we're not desecrating Shabbat by hitting the willows on the ground.
But I would suppose that you had to make sure that you got them before Shabbat and had them soaking in the water.
Yes.
You know, so you had to do was get them, which is
what
we did even for Hoshana Rabbah, because Shabbat wouldn't have ended until it was dark, you know. So the lady who has the tree in her yard cut them, and Tony went to pick them up in the morning, and as soon as he got home, he and I separated them and bound them by groups of five, and then we put them in a container of water and until we needed them for Hoshana Rabbah. So you would still do the same thing on Shabbat. So that's pretty well.
That's correct. That's correct.
You wouldn't shake the lulav and etrog, would you?
Correct.
Okay. I did read that at one time they used to, and then there was a machloket, so they stopped doing it. So I did find some, you know, resource on that. The other thing is just about the hair on the beard of Irikuntin, and seeing that the 13 streams. Let me read the synopsis for it, and then I'll read it was Psalm 59 that I saw a connection to Psalm 23, and that's what I kind of wanted to ask about. The synopsis says, Rabbi Shimon says that both the upper and lower beings all look to receive bounty from the mazel, that is the beard of Atika Kedusha, all life derives from that mazel. Even heaven and earth and bountiful rains come from it. We learn about the 13 streams of oil. And, of course, that's the 13 attributes of mercy that are derived from that beard and that come out to Zeron Pin. Okay, that was the synopsis. So I saw the 13 streams as being a picture of the goodly oil that is the 13 attributes of mercy. And the translation of Psalm 59 said, there are 13 streams of valuable goodly oil, namely the 13 attributes of mercy. And Rabbi Eichlag has that in caps. Derived from that beard, which is that precious mazel, they all come out to Zeron Pin. Do not say they all do, as 9 of them are present in Zeron Pin in order to subdue judgment. Okay. Then it made me think of Psalm 23, when King David said, my cup overflows, and he anoints my head with oil. So would not that statement, he anoints my head with oil, relate in a concealed way the 13 attributes of mercy? And because that song is so linked to funerals and deaths, and usually the last song recited before anyone passes for the other dimension, that we can really expect the 13 attributes of mercy being poured over our heads. That was
okay.
To Psalm 23.
I understand you're connecting it, but you're connecting it because of a mistaken understanding.
Okay.
There are 2 sets of 13 attributes of mercy.
Right.
You're aware of that, right?
Yes. In fact, I put your handout together. I put the Malachi verse at the top, and then the one that we say all the time, because most of the time our classes are at night when we're reciting.
Correct.
So I could understand why you do that particular one. But there are times in the morning and in my own prayers, so that's why I put them both on a sheet.
I understand.
Okay,
now,
so I have them. Okay.
The Psalm 23 is talking about Malchut. Arikan Kin feeds, or the 13 parts of the beard of Arikan Pin, representing the 13 attributes of mercy of Arikan Pin, is going into Zeron Pin, not Malchut. Now, Malchut obviously is connected to Zeron Pin through Yesod.
I don't understand why the drops, why the moth, and you know, the mazel can't drip all the way down.
Oh, it does. The mazel does drip all the way down, but as in the process of the dripping, it changes. It changes from the 13 attributes of Arikan Pin to the 13 attributes of Zeron Pin.
Well, that's moving the spiritual to the
When Bina, when Bina is sharing with directly with Malchut, it is because their Anpin is in Dormita, in the sleeping stage.
Yeah.
As long as their Anpin is awake, there is no direct connection between Malchut and Bina. It's only in the first 10 days of Tishrei, the 10 days of repentance, that Zeron Pin is put to sleep. It goes into Dormita, so that is when the 13 attributes of Arichan Pin is connecting to directly through Bina, directly to Malchut. But that's a state of judgment, not of mercy.
Well, I thought every time we did a transgression that Hashem told Moses, the people, to use the 13 attributes of mercy.
Yes, of Zeron Pin, not of Arichan Pin.
Okay.
I can sense that it's still not clear.
Well, what I'm thinking of is I need to reread, because I remember I was real sleepy on those nights.
Okay.
You know, I have Divine Nefeshins. He had a diagram of Arichan Pin and Atikah Kedisha, you know, and so I look at that from time to time. So I'm sure there's something I'm missing, but I'll reread when I'm really fully awake, you know, in the morning and not at night. And Tim, I've had a problem too.
When you're fully awake and you've absorbed the information and you can write down your question, so that when we go into the class at night and you're tired, at least you're reading the question from when you were wide awake.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll be able to see it.
Is there a relationship between the words that King David had to say about he anointed my head with oil? And if oil was the 13 attributes, that was basically.
Yes.
I mean, every time I turn around, I see how Hashem is just always extending his mercy. And I thought, here's another time during a period of judgment when you're about to pass from the earth, and here's Hashem anointing our heads with oil. I mean, you know. The Shefa coming down as 13 attributes of mercy. In other words,
and that is absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. But it's coming from the 13 attributes of mercy associated with Zeron Pin.
Okay.
And the do is associated with the 13 attributes of mercy from Arichan Pin. The oil is coming from Chachma. It's coming as the dew. It's coming as the mazel. The mazel means the drip. But dew is formed from the temperature exchange. It's not dripped down. Dew is something that comes up from Malchut. And that's a frame of judgment. But it's meeting the 13 attributes of mercy of Zeron Pin.
Okay.
I believe Zion Nefesh is saying anyway that he's planning to try and explain Rabbi Ashlag's 10 luminous emanations over a course of a period of time. To my knowledge, he's only done one class, and it's an introduction, and he's saying he's going to do more introductions, but I haven't seen the second one yet.
No, I think it's quite a while. And that was where I took these two in, because I felt like if I went back and looked at his little diagram again and made the match, but I will do that.
I don't speak against what Zion Nefesh is trying to do. It's part of what his perceptions. But he's teaching some things that I wouldn't teach or wouldn't agree with. But, it's not that significant at this point, so I don't ever bring it up.
Right. Well, I'd like to ask you about one of his, last week, one of the ones he sent out, but I don't know if it would be Lashon Hara, so. Because I also disagree.
First off, it can't be Lashon Hara from a student to a teacher.
Okay. Well, comments were made that the willows, because of their use and their degree of holiness, that you could put them at the entrance of your door, but not visible, that you could put them under your pillow if you were fearful or had bad dreams. And I've always thought that those things, once you use them, they no longer contain the holiness that when you use them. For example, when the high priest took off his garments, those garments no longer had the holiness attached to them. And I felt like, that those three statements, after he gave the example of the ritual of meditating on the final letters when you beat the willows, I felt uncomfortable with those things. And several of the people of the Rabbah had printed them already, so that was my comment.
Let me clarify.
Okay.
I believe when he was saying that, he was talking about the willows that were used in the lulav.
Okay.
The two branches of willows from the lulav. They still have holiness, just like the myrtle does, just like the lulav does, and just like the etrog does. And you need to bury them just like you would a Torah scroll, or burn them. And some people will wait until a Pesach to burn them, although the lulav, they tend to burn earlier. The etrog, they will wait to Pesach. So when you're burning your chametz, you burn that etrog. There is some shadow of holiness associated with the components of the lulav and the etrog. But the five willows that you beat on the ground with the final letters meditation, their holiness is over.
Okay. Well, I'll go back and read the handout. I didn't remember him associating it with the lulav, because it was right under that diagram he had with the final letters. For the meditation when you beat the willow. So I'll see if that was, I'll reread that too.
Right.
but I
read it as well. But again, both of us didn't read it as closely as we probably should have. So it'll come together.
Okay. But I
believe somebody else came on, so I don't know if they have any questions.
Okay.
Whoever came on, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. Hannah, I don't mean to cut you off. If you have some other questions or you want to continue this discussion, we can.
No, I had always been taught that after Sukkot, the Lulav and Etrog lost its holiness. You know, it was just be discarded.
No, it doesn't lose. The holiness never disappears. It needs to. It's like the Torah scroll, or the parchment in your mezuzah, or the tefillin. If it cannot be repaired, it needs to be handled in a unique way. It either has to be burned or it has to be buried. Because holiness never disappears completely, but it certainly isn't on the level of the holiness while it's out whenever Sukkot ends. That holiness is still, it's a reshima is the Hebrew word. It's an impression of the holiness. That never goes away. The full holiness does dissipate.
Okay, so I have about four etrogreem, I should say, in my freezer. Should I should dispose of them, not keep them like that?
I would put them aside, put them in the box and put them aside and burn them on the box and the whole thing, burn it with your chametz on Passover. The other alternative is if you know any women who want to get pregnant, you can give them the etrog within the next few days. So don't do it past the next few days. But if they bite into the etrog on the end where the pitum is, it is said to be a segula, a good luck charm, that they'll get pregnant.
Okay, I knew about that. Always kept one to be able to show it to Bishvat.
Okay.
You know, so.
Yeah, no, I understand. So, if you want to bury it now, you don't have to wait to Pesach, but you could bury it now.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the way it should be disposed.
Okay. Well, in Israel, I saw families that were Orthodox, and they punched holes in theirs and filled each hole with a clove and used it for the best of means. But that's all I had to ask for tonight. Okay, I thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. You all have a good evening.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.